You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Faith, Family, and Finances by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
So we've been talking over several weeks, and we'll still be continuing over the several weeks in the future, on faith, family, and finances. About you having the faith for the finances for your family. Amen. And so I just want to kind of bring us up to where we are and then go on from there. Number one, we say God is concerned about families. We saw that from his original calling. He created a family. In Adam and Eve, he created a family. And then when he gave his covenant promises, he gave it to Abraham. And he told him it was going to be for him and his children, him and his seed, him and his descendants. So God's concerned about families. And secondly, we said that God desires to financially increase you and your family. Everybody say me and my family. Yeah. It's so important to recognize that, because if you don't understand that, you'll just be a one generational blessed person. And you need to understand it's the will of God to take you to another, to one level. Your children go to another level. Then they go to another level. And they go to another level. Come on now. And to the point that it gets to the place that your children remember, I heard that we used to have some broke folks in our family. I heard way back in the day, we used to be some poor people in our family, okay? My grandchildren, they can't relate to nothing about the projects, okay? They can't relate to anything like that. That was, for them, that was two generations ago, okay? And imagine, so now, as if Jesus spares us coming, and my family for me go six generations, okay? Somebody gonna have to show them a picture of what a project looked like, because even as we see here recently, I heard our mayor say the time is up for those projects. Y'all know the time is up for those projects. Amen. It really is. It really is. And what y'all call projects down here, we would call townhouses where I was from. Yeah, that would have been a step up compared to how I grew up. Okay. But people putting a whole bunch of poor people in one place and recycling the same type of norms without exposing them to life beyond this is never a good idea. That's why it was a project. And it was a failed project. Okay? It was a failed project. Because it limits exposure. You know? It limits exposure. So God wants to financially increase you and your family. Let me say a little bit about that exposure thing. Because Pastor Marshall and I, we were watching something. I think I was watching 60 Minutes a couple weeks ago, and it was showing some person who's a, I think he's a country singer, but he's, you know, I don't really know country music like that, but he's a country music star, and the town where he's come from, he's going back there, and they show these people in these low-income housing, and he's going to have those torn down, and he's going to build up new houses for these people. But he said it's a shame the way these places are. And it was showing, went into apartments, and it was showing cabinets, the cabinet doors off the cupboards. It showed garbage piled up in a corner, and it showed, you know, clothes all piled up in a corner. And he said, we're gonna give these people new houses. My wife and I looked at each other and said, he need to ask somebody. Some of y'all ain't even catching it. Said, no, the problem, that ain't the house. That's how they living in the house. Some people think, no, because I lived in the projects, but we had clean houses, clean apartments in the projects. Amen. And so he said, well, we're just going to tear these, and they show plans. What I said, no, you take those same people and put them in a very nice house, and they'll just have bigger rooms to pile more garbage in. If mentality doesn't change, that's what I'm always telling y'all. The first thing got to change is your mind. Right after you get saved, Romans 12:1-2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So our mind got to change. Amen? So the whole thing about poverty, you know, right now I'm just still changing, hopefully changing your mind about riches. That's what I've been doing over several. I've been trying to establish to you from the scripture why it's the will of God for you not to be poor and struggling and broke. It first starts with a different mindset. Amen. And can I tell you, God doesn't get any glory out of you struggling. Amen. That our Catholic brothers and sisters, God bless them, but they take a vow of poverty. The devil is a lie. I've taken a vow of prosperity. I will prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers, so help me God. A vow of poverty. The devil is a liar. And let me give you a little something, tell you a little something about that. Because I went to Catholic school, okay? Now, it's easy to take a vow of poverty if you got a rich church and they taking care of you anyway. See, vow of poverty didn't mean that they living without. No, it simply meant they didn't own it personally, okay? Some of those rectories where the priests live in the convent, some of them were palatial places. They just didn't own it, okay? So if you're going to take a vow of poverty, then go live under a bridge. Come on now, okay? So, but God doesn't get any glory out of us being in poverty. So God desires to increase you and your family. Number three, we said God wants to financially increase you. We start talking about why God wants to increase you and your family. Number one, we said to establish his covenant. That means that's because he said he would do it. Number two, we said to spread the gospel. Number three, we said to bless others and give us a two-coat ministry. Let him that has two coats give to him that have none. Eliminate misfortune and need in the lives of other people. Number four, to make the world envious. I think that's where we left off last week, did we not? To make the world envious. And let's move on to number five here, because y'all were one behind my noon class. Number five, to focus on our mission. You need money and you need to have your needs met to focus on your mission. Whatever you're called to do, lacking money to do it is a distraction from the purpose. Okay? There are people who are called to teach, love teaching, but their student loans, but their salary is not keeping up with the student loans. So even though they love to teach, love children, they say, I got to get out of teaching. That's, even though that's their mission, I got to get out of that so I can go do this. So you can't focus on your calling if your needs aren't met. Y'all agree with that? I need y'all to see this. Okay, so when you have it is hard to focus on meeting. When I'm talking about mission, I'm talking what God's called you to do to bless other people. Okay, what you're called, because if God's give you a calling, whatever God's calling is, and everybody's not called to preach, I wish everybody realized that. Okay, I've heard some people thought they were called to preach, and I said, no, you ain't called to preach. You ran too fast. The person was down there praying, and they came around and said, Pastor, I heard the Lord said, go preach. And then the pastor heard him, they did a trial, so he said, no, you probably moved too fast. And then the Lord said, go pray. And okay, that wasn't funny, all right? Everybody's not called to preach, just like everybody's not called to sing. Different folks have different calling. But whatever you're called to do, it's when God calls you, give you a talent, gifts, ability, whatever, it's always to minister or to help somebody else, to add value to somebody else's life, to improve somebody else's life, to contribute to somebody else's life. And you cannot focus on helping anybody else, contributing to anyone else's life if your basic needs are not met. So God wants us to be able to focus on our mission. So Mark 4:19, Jesus talked about those who receive the word, so is the word, and they come, people, and they're focused on the word, and they come to church, and they start moving in the word and flowing in the word, and they're blessed by the word, and now they join the evangelism team. They want to help other people, they want to usher, they want to sing, they want to clean the church, whatever. You know, they're doing ministry. But now what happens? Mark 4:19, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches, that's talking about that riches will deceive you, money and things will deceive you to make you think that's the end of life. And can I tell you, money is not the end. Money is a means to an end. Amen. So the cares of this world, I mean things that you're just concerned about, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things, it enters in and it chokes the word. So the word was work. You were able to focus on the word, but too many other things came in. And so, and you got to be careful with this, or not careful, mindful of this, because this can happen so quickly you don't even realize it. So you, you know, you were focused. You know, your life was getting better. You were getting more rooted and grounded in the Word of God. But then certain bills come up. This happens, that happens, and now you can't come to church anymore. And that you think God just understand because you got to do what you got to do. And you don't realize that now you not being under the Word, now you end up in the natural grind and you disconnect from supernatural things happening in your life. Pastor Marshall and I, we were talking this week because we were looking and noticing some things. People think, see, I have not been, when I was in college, I pledged Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity. Okay. I have not been an active Alpha, quite honestly, since I left college. I've been busy. I've been raising kids. Okay. I've been working. I've been doing ministry. I have not been active. Okay. My life has not decreased because I haven't been to an Alpha meeting. Good organization. Okay. Okay. But my life has not lost. I haven't lost any pace in my life because I haven't been to a fraternity meeting. You can be an Eastern Star. You can be a Mason. You can be a Kappa. You can be a member of the KKK, whatever. Whatever organization you told me you're in. You can leave that organization and it don't negatively affect your life. Yet you can leave the church and your whole life unravels. I have never heard anyone say, you know, me no longer going to church. Man, that is the best thing that I ever did. Man, ever since I ain't been going to church, my life is so much better. Ever since I disconnected from the body of Christ, I tell you, I've just been on the up. Have you heard anybody say that? No, because when you leave the church, your life starts unraveling. And some of y'all, you think the church is just like another social club. It's like a club, like you being a member of the Eastern Stars or Masons or whatever, and you just don't go to the meetings no more. No, this is life. This word gives you life. Come on. Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. This word adds to your life. And when you disconnect from it, okay, the Bible says what happened? The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, got to make this money, got to get this change, got to get paid, I got to stack this paper, got to get these coins, whatever term we come up with. It's the deceitfulness of riches, and then the lust of other things. The lust of other things. And when we think of lust, we always think about sexual lust, and that's one type of lust, but I mean, you know, but just other things just become more important to us than the things of God. And you have to be careful to recognize that the devil can be using the cares of this world, and they're legitimate. You really do need to pay your rent as your landlord. You really do need to pay your mortgage. Ask the mortgage company, ask the bank. So they're legitimate, but we got to keep it in perspective to realize I need the word so I can do these things. So what happened, these things come in and it gets us off our mission. And now it chokes the word. So the word no longer working in our lives. It's no longer regenerating. It's no longer flowing through our lives. And now it becometh unfruitful. The word is not able to produce what it should have been, what should have produced. You should have been out of debt by now. You should have elevated beyond poverty now. You could be healed now. Your marriage could be better now if you just focus and stayed under the word. Are y'all listening to me? So be careful that you don't allow the cares of this world, the deceitful lust of other things, choke the word and cause you to become unfruitful. So if you don't have money, this is one of the things that gets you distracted from the word of God. Amen. Secondly, we see 2 Corinthians 5:20. 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says we are ambassadors of Christ. Now, Paul is talking about his ministry team, but I believe that applies to all of us as believers. Ambassadors are representatives. Amen. We have ambassadors to the UN, okay? Our former governor, Nikki Haley, she was the ambassador to the UN. And Nikki's loyal. Nikki ain't said nothing negative about this president because she know he come for you. If you say anything negative, he going to come for you. And so she ain't said nothing, but I tell you what, she said, I got to get up out of here. And I'm going to smile the whole way. But I got to left here. Okay? She was an ambassador, is one who represents another. The Bible said we are ambassadors for Christ. As a Christian, even if you're not a licensed ordained minister, all of us are called to represent Christ on the earth. Amen. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in God's stead. We're representing Christ. We're praying, we're beseeching, we're encouraging people. And Christ said to be reconciled to God. Watch this. That means, I'm going to use a word that has a bad connotation there. We're all, if we're Christians, supposed to be evangelicals. Oh, see, y'all, all that word means reaching out to tell people about Jesus. I sent it to Minister Mark and to Pastor Chandler and those who work with our younger people. There was a recent study that said many millennial Christians think that is wrong to talk to other people about your faith. Because it's like you're pushing your beliefs on somebody. Can I tell you, we're all supposed to be spreading the good news about Jesus every opportunity we get. And we don't have to be mean about it. We don't have to be nasty about it. But when's the last time you asked someone after they were telling you about how bad their life is and how their life is unraveled and then the boyfriend cheated on them, the girl cheated on them and all this. And when's the last time you asked them, listen, have you ever thought about becoming a Christian? Because the truth of the matter, we're all supposed to be representing Jesus. Amen. And watch this. And some of us, we're not that bold. Will you at least invite them to church? I'll try to close the deal. Just get them on the dealership floor. Just get them on a car lot. I'll try to sell them a car. Okay? Just bring them. Amen. Because some of you are not bold enough to ask people and all that. But just please bring them in an environment that they can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. So it says we're all supposed to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. But you can't do that if all you're worrying about is getting your needs met and getting these coins. Amen. So 2 Timothy 2 and 4 says, so Paul's now talking to Timothy as a young minister, as a pastor, and he says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Okay? So when a man's going to war, he don't take his family on the battlefield with him. Because he got to be focused on his assignment. He said, no man that war who's in warfare, can I tell you this? We're all in spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but the angels, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. No man that's in warfare entangling himself with the affairs of life. He said, you cannot fully be involved in war and try to operate as a civilian at the same time. Now, you can be on a base as long as we're not at war, but when you deployed, come on, you're not coming home every night to the family. Are you understanding this? No man who wars and takes himself the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So soldiers got to be focused. Okay? A soldier can't be out. I would take up this gun and try to shoot that ISIS member, but I got a part-time job I got to get to. No man that warreth. And so what he's saying here, you need to be able to be focused on your assignment. So example often used about this is that, so let's just use that example. The example of a soldier being deployed to Iraq, to Syria. Troops going to be leaving there, okay, to fight against ISIS or whatever. Now, even though they went to Iraq, even though they went to Syria, I'm talking about United States soldiers, he's not looking for the Iraqi government or the Syrian government to give him a check. He's deployed there on behalf of the United States. His money comes from the United States government, provided the government ain't shut down and he get in. Okay? So to focus on his assignment, he can't be expecting a check from them. So the United States government says, you do your job, and I make sure your bills get paid. And so God's saying to us, he said he wants us as Christian people to be focused on what he called us to do. All of us are called to represent Jesus. And you can't represent Jesus in the earth and focus on your assignment if you're just concerned about getting your needs met. Do y'all understand that? Just like a teacher who's called to teach but not making enough money. A preacher's called to preach, but not making enough money. And so they're pastors every day. Really, I get all these stories all the time. And there's books on it and articles about a pastor's leaving ministry because their families are suffering. When I went full time in ministry, I had a career and all that, and I was doing well, and I was bivocational, is what we call it. Okay, a minister and an insurance professional. And so when the Lord told me to go full-time ministry, my prayer to the Lord was I didn't ask for riches. I didn't ask for be a millionaire. I didn't ask for $100,000 a year. I asked the Lord for one thing. I said, okay, I'll do what you call me to do, Lord, but I just don't want my family to suffer. That was my prayer to God, because I've seen too many pastors and people in ministry and their families suffering because they are doing what, quote unquote, what God called them to do. Do y'all understand this? So if your needs are met, now I can focus. So God wants you to bless you financially so you can focus on your mission. Number six, God wants to bless you financially so you can defend your families. So you can defend your families. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 12. It says, for wisdom is a defense and money is a defense. Some of y'all didn't know these scriptures are here. That's why I'm going over them for you. Wisdom is a defense and money is a defense. So you'll see often, particularly in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, because Solomon had to understand, came to understand it. You don't just need money. You need wisdom. The Bible says prosperity is good with an inheritance. Wisdom is good with an inheritance. You need wisdom to know how to manage money. Wisdom is a defense and money is a defense. Now, if you got to make a choice between wisdom and money, then get the wisdom, because wisdom always produces money. Money don't necessarily mean you got wisdom, but if you got enough wisdom, you can get some money. Amen. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. So you need to have wisdom. But what I really want you to see here, money is a defense. Money, and so watch this. When you don't have money, you're defenseless. Not just broke. You're defenseless against crises that come your way. You're defenseless when the government shuts down. You're defenseless when an accident happens. So when people start talking about things like you need an emergency fund, know what they're saying? You need to have high defenses. Because in this world, ye shall have tribulation. That's what the Bible says here. Somebody said, I don't know that one, Pastor. In this world, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So wisdom is a defense and money is a defense. Some of y'all looking at me like that cow at the new gate again. Okay. So for those of us who are a little bit younger here, who don't remember 1995. In 1995, I think it may have been September. The reason why I remember is because I had just came here to South Carolina. And there was a verdict that was going to be announced that day. They had just gotten back. And so we went into the lunchroom at the office that I managed down there on Nax Abbott and 12th Street and Casey. Okay? And we stayed around the TV to hear this verdict. Anybody remember what verdict that was? That was the O.J. verdict. Okay? In that office, it was one, let me see, me, it was three of us who were African Americans. It was six of us who were Caucasian Americans. And when they announced the verdict, the black people said, yeah! Okay, come on, I'm telling you the truth. The white people said, oh my God. Many of our white Americans don't understand is that black people were excited and happy. And it's a little perverted, but happy that finally there's a black man who had enough money to buy himself some innocence.
You can prepare your family's future by making important financial decisions now. Life does not have to be in your family line if you apply key principles. Bishop Herbert Bailey shares biblical and practical wisdom to move your family forward in these poignant teachings. Order today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rdci.info. For immediate access, subscribe to rightdirection.tv. Ask for Faith, Family, and Finances.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.